Hello and welcome to We the Meeple, where we hold these truths to be self-evident that we like playing board games. My name is Corey. I'm your host for this podcast. I have two co-hosts with me. First up is Cody.
What's going on, everybody?
And we have Joseph.
It's okay to fail. It's okay to take a risk.
Okay, risk right there. Okay, cool. Okay, I got it. Yeah, so we just had our first episode last month, and I just want to say thank you to everybody that listened. We had really good numbers. We had a lot of really good feedback and constructive criticism, and I really appreciate everyone that came out and listened and gave us any sort of feedback. So let's just jump right into episode two. I think we got a good one for you, and we're going to start off with one good thing. This is one good thing regarding board games. So, Code, what do you have for us to start off?
To start off, I read the rules for The King's Dilemma. Super pumped about it. Sounds like right up our alley. Going to be a lot of fun. So can't wait to play it.
I'm so excited to play that game. And that is my board game. And I could not be, I could not read the rules. So you did it for me. So I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. My one good thing is I just received The Lost Ruins of Arnak in the mail. And that is a worker placement deck building game. And I am so pumped about it because I've been hearing it from all the other podcasts I listen to. And they've been playing it. And it's been game of the year so far. So, like, I felt like I was missing out. I'm not going to feel that way anymore. That's my one good thing. Joseph?
My one good thing is we actually got a message from a listener, Ace's Art. And he is working on a new game called MAD. M-A-D. It is a social deduction game where players build nuclear bombs and launch them at each other, which sounds really fun. It is on Tabletop Simulator. That is a game on Steam. So you go on Steam and you can play other people's games. And he's also working on putting it on Kickstarter. So we're looking forward to check it out on Kickstarter. And we are, if you want to play it sooner, you can play it on Tabletop Simulator. So that's my one good thing.
Yeah, he had us at social deduction. That's up our alley,
yeah,
right there.
Oh yeah, for sure. When we'll it comes on Kickstarter, we'll probably buy it. Sure.
Yeah, and we'll be hearing more about social deduction later in the episode, I'm sure. But
very sure. Yep.
Let's jump into our first full topic, which is the Wheel of Destiny. Code, do you want to tell us what the topic is today?
Yep. We have no control over these topics. It's none. Clearly random.
It was randomized from last week.
It was randomized, and we landed on expansions. I feel like we don't really have too many expansions, but I just want to know your guys' thought process on them. You know, what do you guys like about them? What you don't like about them? What's your favorite expansion we own and all that? So we'll let Joseph, you can start the discussion for us. What's your thought on expansions?
What I like about them is they can add more to the game, like a game you already really like. And what I don't like about them is they're sometimes kind of expensive and they don't add too much to the game. Like you're paying $30 for like 10 extra cards, which is not really worth it sometimes.
Right. I agree with you. To me, if you're going to be paying for an expansion, I feel like it needs to add, you know, a new aspect to the game. Like I want to feel like I'm playing a whole different game.
Yeah, I would agree with
you. You know,
that,
besides sure. just, you know, adding, like, let's say Dixit, for an example. We bought the Dixit expansion. It adds some cards, but it doesn't really change it. So it gets old kind of fast, I believe. So, Corey, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, expansions are tough for me and probably our game group because we are so much Cult of the New where we always want it. Well, at least me personally, I always want to get a new game. It almost never makes sense for me to get an expansion. But looking around, we do have more expansions than I thought. You know, we have the Viticulture one, we have Mysterium, we have Dixit. I have all the expansions for Wingspan right now. And kind of like what you guys said, I like just that it adds more to some of your favorite games. And those are the expansions I tend to buy. My favorite games, I want more of this one. If it's a mid-tier game, I'm like, okay, I would rather spend that money on a new experience. But for the best of the best games, I want as much content as I can for those games because I want to keep enjoying them and playing them. And, you know, as you keep playing games, they can get a little stale after a while. But with expansions, you know, you get a fresh take on them most of the time. Now you kind of had pointed out that, you know, some expansions just add cards. Those aren't my favorite, but even those have good qualities to them. And I kind of like to buy those expansions almost right away and just have them in the base game with you like they were always there to begin with. But do you guys have like a favorite type of expansion? I know you said, Code, like you want it to change the game pretty much.
Yeah, well, you told me we've only ever played Viticulture with the expansion, so I can't imagine without the expansion. Another one I was thinking of was, I know it just adds cards, but Cosmic Encounter, you add different type of aliens, and it feels a little different because you get different powers in the game. So the game feels different in that aspect where your different power, the powers are the strongest thing in the game. So it feels different to me with that.
Yeah, I would agree with Cody. It's got to add a different aspect to the game. It can't just add more cards and just change the game up a little bit. If you're going to pay that much money for an expansion, it's got to add to the game. Like a different gameplay or something, a game mechanic maybe even.
Right.
For sure.
So like, Code, you brought up a good point with Viticulture. You know, I bought that, played it once, really liked it, immediately bought the expansion. So you guys never played it base game. But, you know, for people that don't know, Viticulture, you have pretty much two rounds. You have a spring and I believe a fall. And those are your times to take worker placement actions. Now, the expansion gives you a brand new board, among other things, but it gives you a brand new board where you take worker placements in each of the four seasons of the year. So it really adds a lot to the base game, I feel like.
Yeah, to me, that would be worth it. While, like I just said, Dixit is just a few cards, and it doesn't change much in the game. Sure, you can use the cards, but you're not even going to use all those cards all the time. While Viddy, it totally changed the game, in my opinion.
Right.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Another type of expansion I like, and I haven't bought this one yet. I don't know if I.
Sorry.
Is your camera okay?
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Another type of expansion, I haven't bought this one yet because, like we said, the price point is so high. It's for Underwater Cities. Now, Underwater Cities, now what it does is, I believe it adds kind of the same stuff, you know, new scoring mechanisms at the end and, you know, new powers and new cards, of course, but it also gives you an upgrade to the game. Now, what I mean is the boards for Underwater Cities are fine. You know, they're light cardboard covered in plastic a little bit, so they're kind of smooth, but the expansion gives you dual layered boards. So when you're placing things on there, they don't shift around anymore. So while I haven't bought it yet, if I ever see that one go on sale, I think I would, because I like having upgraded components, you know, getting better tokens or better boards in your game. And that's pretty cool. And a game we're going to talk about later, Joe, this is one's right for you. I don't want to talk about it too much, but Parks.
Yeah.
Now that's got an expansion, and the base game is pretty simple, and the expansion doesn't give it too much, but it does give you those end of the game options, you know, more ways to get bonus points.
I'm for and against Parks expansion. I like some of the aspects, but on the other hand, I felt like some of the, it didn't add much to the game. Like like at first I was like, man, this is adding a lot to the game, but we'll talk about it more later. But I like Parks, the expansion, but it's not my favorite expansion.
Right. Now, is there an expansion you guys wish we had for, like, a game? Like, for me, I wish we had the Cyclades expansion. Like, mm-hmm. I talked about last week, I love mythology games, so Greek's right up my alley. I feel like that would be super exciting for me.
You just wanted to make an expansion for it, right?
No, they have one.
They have one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that would be something I would definitely be interested in getting at some point. We all like that game or enough where I think we could get it if it adds enough to the game. So I'll have to look it up more. But what about you guys? Any dream expansions you guys want, or games we already have that we don't have an expansion for?
I would say I haven't really thought of one, but maybe Secret Hitler, if they thought of an expansion for Secret Hitler. I don't know if they got one.
More roles and everything?
Yeah, more roles, more something different. Maybe that happens as you go across the path or whatever, maybe.
Okay.
Something better with that.
Yeah, that's kind of like Deception, because we also bought that expansion. And while that one added a bunch of new cards, which was fun in that game, because the cards are almost like a highlight of the game, seeing the different murder weapons and, you know, I think they added like killer bees and a killer robot. That also added more players, which I think is a pretty good expansion. And it added more roles. So in a game of social deduction where there's one murderer and, you know, forensic scientists, it added more people to kind of like have more fun roles. So that was kind of cool. For your question, Code, I think besides Underwater Cities, I would also be real interested in the Western Legends. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's like a live your dream cowboy life, your Western life. And I believe it adds robbing a train and even more gambling aspects to the expansion.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look into that one.
So I guess I don't know what we were trying to achieve with the expansions talk. Like I said, I know we're not the biggest expansion people, but after talking, we do have quite a few. Like, what's your, I guess, maybe like final thoughts on them, or what in the future do you see yourself going more towards expansions now that we have such a big game collection and kind of expanding the games we like? Or are we going to stick with kind of like the status quo at this point?
I would say we're probably not going to buy more expansions, to be honest with you. I mean, it's just like you said, why would we want, unless you have this a game that you love so much, like Western Legends or Parks or something. We don't buy a lot of games where we're like, man, I love this game. This is my top 10. I need to buy expansion for it. We don't buy it. We buy a lot of games, so it's hard to find those.
Yeah, I agree with them. I don't think we'll be buying too many more, well, you know, consistently. But if a game were to come up that we absolutely love, the problem is that we all love jumping games, so it's hard to buy an expansion. Like you said, though, if we bought it right away, then maybe, and we just added right into the game, but I don't see us buying too much. But my thought on it is it could be a good, you know, experience for people who like playing the same game and it has a new, fresh take to it. So I'm not totally against them. It's just, I don't think it's just for us personally, our group.
Yeah, I guess to finish off the discussion, you guys are absolutely right. I guess we definitely have bought more than we thought. And I think for the most part, they've been decent buys. You know, there's a few out there, like you said, maybe Dixit. But even that wasn't bad. You know, a variety of cards is good. Mysterium, same kind of thing. Variety of cards is okay. But for the most part, I think the expansions have been more hit or miss. I don't think we bought an expansion and then gone back. Because I know, you know, listening to other gamers, they do that sometimes. Like, oh, we're not going to play with the expansion. I don't think we've really done that. When we get an expansion, it's something that we've researched, we've looked at, we've decided, hey, we like the base game enough, and we usually stick with it, and we like to play that. But, yeah, I think the holdup for us, and you guys both agree, is the price point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd rather for just sure. buy a whole new game for the $30, $40, whatever, yeah. You know, we could just buy a whole new game in general, and then I feel like we'd get more use out of the new game than the expansion.
Yeah, I think that's just human nature. You know, in anything in life, you want to see what the new thing is. And even though you can make your old thing better, it's like, what if this new thing's already better by itself? So, yeah, expansions, we like them. We will buy some in the future. We will just be very selective about it. And if you guys have any thoughts on expansions, I know... especially on Board Game Geek, a lot of people are all for expansion. So if you have thoughts on that, let us know. I'd be happy to hear it. Or which one do we need to buy?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. That was our Wheel of Destiny discussion. Joe, do you want to take us to our next topic?
This is the Meeples Court.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. Judge Joseph residing. Everybody be seated. Okay. This is case number one, worker placement. We have Corey, who is representing Viticulture. Cody, who is representing Zolkin Mayan Calendar. Worker placements is a fun little mechanic where you take workers and then put them on actions. And you got to figure out what way to do it. We picked our two favorite worker placement games, and we are starting with opening statements. With our first opening statement, we will start with Corey, who is representing Viticulture.
You mean Farmer Jack.
Farmer Jack.
Farmer Jack.
Farmer Jack. All right, so it's no secret among Everyone I play board games with, Viticulture is my absolute favorite game of all time. I love the worker placement aspect of the game. It gives you so many options. And I feel like in a worker placement game, that is 100% key. You want to have options. You want to have opportunities to go to spaces that are fun. And they give you a lot of different things to do. You can build things up. You can get materials and resources. You can send those off for points. You can just get points. There's just so much stuff to do. And besides that, it has a fun beginning mechanism where you are almost kind of like bidding on what spot you want to start off in the worker placement. Do you want to go first, second, third? And you get bonuses depending on that. The later you go, the more bonuses. But people are, that go earlier are going to take those really good spots. The art is really nice. It's a little bit subdued, but all of it's really pretty art. It has a touch of randomness with the cards, but the cards almost give the game a lot of flavor. You are able to do things with the cards that are very powerful. They give you more turns. And it's just, in my opinion, the most fantastic worker placement game there is.
And I don't think you mentioned what you do in Viticulture. What are you doing in Viticulture?
You place workers.
Okay, but what are you doing? Like, what's the theme of it?
Yes. Well, I talked mostly gameplay because that's the most important part. But yes, if I do want to tell you what you do, you make wine, and making wine is such a unique.
Okay, that's lame. Your opening statement is done. That's lame. Cody. You are representing Zulkin, right. Mayan calendar. Let me hear your opening statement.
Right. Looking very handsome, by the way, Judge.
Thanks.
Yeah, Zulkin, the Mayan calendar. It's a great worker placement game. The board looks beautiful, has all the little arts on it with the pyramids and everything. The thing that makes this game special is the way you move your pawns. It's on a mechanism where you place your pawn down and it moves along a track. This game is...
And making wine is such a
okay,
unique...
Okay, that's lame.
Corey mentioned the randomness of the cards. He meant to say luck of the cards. The cards are... Some of them are way overpowered than the others in that game. While my game, you can have the strategy of winning with the skulls. You can have the strategy of winning with the gods. You can build up buildings. You know, you got to feed your people. You got to... Every single move you have to think about, and you have to be really strategic about it. Because if you make one wrong move where you pull a guy and then place a guy, you know, later in the turn, you can really mess yourself up in the game where you can't really recover. But more of my part is, it's just the strategy of this game is just no luck. Just all strategy, which in a board game is what you want because you want the best player to win. So the way I feel.
Okay.
Corey's theme is boring.
True. And what's your theme? Because I don't know if your theme is much better.
My theme is ancient times, you know, mythological a little bit with the gods and all that. It's way more interesting than making wine. No one wants to make wine.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Corey, do you have a rebuttal to his statement?
Of course I have a rebuttal. Now, Cody mentioned the best part about his game, which I will almost agree with. It's those spinning tracks. You place a worker on a spinning track, and when you wait, they go further up the line. And when you take them off, they get rewarded for that. Two things about this is pretty much all you're doing is getting resources. You're setting your guy down just to get a resource. That's all the game is grabbing resources to feed your people or to build a building. It's not fun. It's the same thing even on all five tracks. Not to mention, the coolest thing about that is having these rotating tracks. It's not needed. It's nice to have, but you could easily just have five lines on the board and after every turn, move them up yourself. Bless now, it looks cool.
Okay,
it
objection, looks cool. Objection.
You're not supposed to object. That's
I don't object. Lawyer.
If he's not doing his job, it's his own fault. But yeah, you could have
five straight... Whatever. I'm not a judge. You're done talking.
Totally disagree with you, Corey. You were saying it should just be five things. No, the longer you wait on this track, the better resources you get. So it's really, you got to really strategize on how long should I leave my guy on this board for because I can't use him for four turns. That's what makes the board so great. It's so unique, that board. There's no other game we've ever played like that. Viticulture is the same thing. You place your guy on there. You hope you get a good card. oh, I didn't get a good card to help me. Looks like I'm screwed the whole game. While the other person gets a way overpowered card.
The problem with Zulkin is I don't think it's fun when you have lack of action. On a turn, when you say, I'm not doing anything, that's not fun. It's not fun to leave your guys on the track.
You have to do something every turn. So.
I understand that. But it's not fun when you're leaving guys on the track. It's fun when you get to place workers and get rewarded. But when you go one or two turns where you're just getting a couple corn, yeah, you're waiting for that big payoff moment that might happen a little bit later. But for those turns that you're waiting, it's not too much fun.
No.
And like the problem with Zulkin is once you place your workers down, it's almost predetermined what you're going to get as long as you wait. There's no interference in that. In Viticulture, depending on where you take your turn, you're always strategizing on what spot you should go to, because if I don't go to that spot, it could be taken. And you have that fight every round. Every single turn, you have that fight. Now, Zulkin, you set a worker down, and if you're in the front spot, cool. I just got to wait six turns, and I know exactly what I'm going to get. There's nothing to really fight about. And that's one of the best aspects of a worker placement. It's fighting for those worker spots. Or being penalized when you don't get them.
You do fight for them. Because when you place your worker down, the person can place their worker in front of you. They got to pay a little more corn. But they still can get... Like, say you want the building or the card that can feed your people, right? There's only one card on the board. If you place your worker down first, that person can jump right ahead of you.
Are all the cards out at the beginning of the game?
No, but you can see
how do those cards come out?
Okay, but here's the difference. I can see four or five cards laying in front of me. Yours is I pull a card. Hopefully I get the right wine card, and if I don't, then I gotta wait a whole nother turn to get the wine card I need to sell my wine.
So no luck in Zulkin. None.
No, I'm going to say no luck. You can see exactly what you're buying. While Viticulture, you have to pull a card and hope you get lucky and get the right card.
And I believe this is called perjury.
All cards aren't created equally, because I can pull a card. It's garbage. You can pull a card. It's the best card in the game. It literally does not make any sense whatsoever. But winemaking is boring. That's the bottom line of it.
So before I get to that point, you can mitigate your luck a little bit in Viticulture. You can build the windmill that lets you get a card at the end of fall. You can go to spots first where it says now you can pull two cards. You can get abilities where it says, hey, you can pick the card that's on the top of the discard pile. Yes, the cards are luck. But you can make sure you have the best chance to get the best luck.
Okay, I don't want the best chance to get the best luck. I want to strategize, pick a strategy I want to go with, and go with that strategy. Viticulture, if you're not getting the right card, you have to change your strategy, which is kind of garbage at that point. Once you're the whole game in and you don't get the right wine token, you're like, crap, I got to change this. Zulkin, you have a strategy in mind.
Objection. You can make your own strategies, even if you don't get lucky with the cards.
Thank you, beautiful man. Here.
All right, you shut up. You're going to have a wine game as your favorite game.
I would actually like to talk about the wine aspect of Viticulture. Now, in Viticulture, you take many steps to making wine. First, you've got to plant your grapes. So that takes an action. Then you got to cultivate those grapes. You got to bring them down. And then you have to ferment the grapes and make them into wine. And then you have to let the wine sit for a period of time so it ages. All this stuff is
so rare. Didn't you just say about the waiting for the worker, but now you gotta wait for the wine? Isn't that boring? Isn't what you just said was boring?
While you're waiting,
but now you're waiting for the wine.
I've never had a judge get this involved in the case. I think this is wholly unprofessional. While you're waiting for your wine, you're actually still using your workers. It's just something that happens in the background for you. You are not married to making that wine. It happens naturally, like real wine would. And that's something that you can see
the process.
Like you're an
expert on real wine.
And then Cody has other workers he can use. We're gonna have one last statement. One last statement from you and one last statement from Cody. Then I'm gonna make my decision on what the better. Will you let me talk? I will hold you in contempt. But go ahead, take your last statement, and then I'm going to make a decision.
Well, it's not my last statement. I would just like to ask a question of the defendant. Now, first off, going back, I don't remember what I was going to say because you interrupted me. But yeah, you can see the whole process playing out.
Aren't you both defendants on this one?
You can see the whole process playing out in Viticulture. Now, I would like to ask Cody, what are you doing in Zulkin? What is the theme? What's happening?
You can do multiple things, which makes it fun. You can tribute to the gods, which gives you a lot of points midway through the game and the end of the game. And it also gets you materials so you can, you know, buy buildings and all that. Basically, you're just building up a civilization. You can get these skulls and you can sell them. I know people that won the skull way. I know people who won the god way.
You so mean you?
Multiple ways you can win.
You told me. Because you won every time.
You told me Red Dead won with the skulls. Red Dead.
You mean you?
Yes.
I think we're ready for final statements, Your Honor.
We were ready.
You were ready.
Okay. You get 30 seconds, 20 seconds, Corey, to 20 seconds. Go.
I think the quality of my game speaks for itself, so I'm going to go and harp on the theme of the game. Now, as I said, Viticulture, you feel making wine the entire process through. Cody says you can build a civilization. I would argue at no point during that game do I feel like I'm building up a civilization. Do I feel like I'm feeding my people and they're getting sustenance from that? Or I'm pleasing gods. I don't feel any of that. To me, you are getting points, which is fine. Points are what make a board game. But at the end of the day, all you're doing is putting pieces on a board to get points. That is what Zulkin is.
Okay. I didn't really keep time, but go ahead. 20 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever.
Okay. Zulkin is an awesome game with an awesome mechanic that we've never seen in a board game with the wheel. There's way more strategy in Zulkin than there is Viticulture. My theme is better than Corey's, my board is better than Corey's, and the game is just better than Corey's.
Okay, I would say false fact. We just literally played a game last month that had a same mechanic of that, but...
Are you, a 16-year-old kid? It's awesome, and it's awesome, and it's awesome.
Okay, don't
great argument.
Belittling. Call it names, okay? Don't belittle somebody, all right? You guys both had great arguments.
Oh, this is tough. Because I know one of you guys are going to be mad at me. Oh, man.
All right. Will the defendants please stand up?
Okay. No.
Okay, you guys can keep sitting down. So what are we doing with this? Like, this is like the game I want. This is the game
This is the game that's going into your board game collection. You already have Deception from last month. So this is the second game that's going in your board game collection.
All right, the second game that's going into my board game collection. Case number one, worker placement. I'm going to have to go with Viticulture.
Blasphemy.
Zulkin was just kind of confusing to me. It's just a lot going on. There's like 10 different boards, and I just always get confused with it. And I just
so like, we got tiny like brain.
Tiny brain wins. Tiny brain.
Weren't you a lawyer and you went to college and then became a judge?
But Viticulture just seems a little more straightforward. Not that I don't like Zulkin, because if I could pick Zulkin, Zulkin would be number two for sure.
Oh,
but I can't.
So two out of two. Both. All right, so cool.
I can't pick both. So I'm picking Viticulture. But it was great. All right. For both of you guys.
All right. I love it. Viticulture will be the next game to go into your board game collection, people.
Take this man away. Take Zulkin away.
And you know what?
Take him away.
And we might actually have another game to add to your collection. Because we have Joseph.
Okay. We have the game of the month. Farks. Farks. I think I spelled that right. Parks is a game where you take two hikers and you hike along this little track and you collect resources, and those resources help you get gear to help you get better stuff, and you can buy national parks, which helps you win the game. National parks are worth points, obviously, and stuff like that. And we are also going to review the expansion. We already talked a little about expansion earlier, but the parks has a Nightfall expansion, which adds a little bit stuff to it, adds like a tent aspect where if you go onto the trail, you can go onto the tent, or you can go onto the trail, which the trail will give you resources and the tent will get you something else. And the expansion also adds like new cards and like new national park cards, which gives you points, obviously. And then they add end of year cards, which at the end of the game, you have these cards where if you collect these type of national parks, you get extra points. So it's like end game bonuses at the end. So that is parks. And we are going to review the gameplay, components, theme art, and longevity. And we are going to give it a rating at the end. So anybody want to start with gameplay? Or anybody want to add to anything? Like, what add to that?
No, but I'll start at gameplay if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so like you said, you kind of build this track, and it's randomized each start of the game, and you have two hikers. And each of these different parts of the track, these tiles, have resources that you can collect. They can be wood, sun, water, blah, blah, blah. There's a couple more. But you move your hiker forward, and the cool thing about it is he can never go back. So when you go forward a couple spots, you are missing out on anything that you pass until the next round. Or until you use your second hiker. Now, the really cool thing about this game is you can't go in anyone else's space either. So if Cody goes and moves on to a spot that gives you water, well, now I am blocked off from having that spot. So maybe I jump one ahead of him and I can never go there again. Or maybe I try to go one before him and hope that he moves off next turn. But because we each have two hikers, you can never be sure which one they're going to move and if your plan's going to work out. There's one thing that really helps that, and that's the campfire. The campfire does let you go onto a space with another person. So, but you
can only use that once per round.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You can only use it once per round.
Twice. If you get
you
to
can
the
use
end
it
of the
twice
track,
if one of your hikers gets into the track, but a lot of times
so,
people don't do that.
right. So I'll say this about the gameplay. It's extremely simple. You just move your guy forward and you get resources. There's a couple other unique spaces where you can take a picture that's worth a point, or you can use your canteen, which gives you a special bonus. But it is very simple. You move your guy up the track to get resources so you can eventually buy these parks, because that's what wins you the game. Now, the awesome part about it and why I love it is it feels like such a puzzle. And it's not a puzzle that you're trying to figure out the game. It's a puzzle among the other players. You're trying to figure out what they can do and what they're going to do and what you have the time to do. Because once everyone but one hiker goes to the end, that last hiker has to automatically go to the end. So if you're just taking your time, you might miss out on a lot of things you want. But yeah, gameplay is super strong in this. I think I gave it a huge overview, so I'm sorry for taking any of your guys' thunder. Do you guys want to talk about the gameplay?
Okay, Cody, you want to talk about it?
You pretty much said it all. It's just fun. Sometimes I feel like it can be like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like pre-planned. Like sometimes you don't have many choices. Like I'm going here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like if a spot opens up, you're for sure taking it. So sometimes there's not as much strategy as in other games, but the gameplay, yeah, it's just real fun. I really enjoy the game. So, I mean, you said most of the gameplay.
Yeah, I would agree. I have everything Corey said pretty much. Like you said, the one aspect I really love is the gameplay is always changing. You never know when that person's going to take your spot, and then you got to change up your strategy just like in a snap. That's the reason why I love the gameplay. It's just you're always thinking. In a lot of games, you can think of a strategy, and you can have that strategy all the time. This game, there's never a set strategy. It's always, man, I got to do something else because this guy took my spot. Man, I got to do something else because this guy took my spot. Man, this guy took my card. I got to do something else. Man, this guy took my gear. I got to do something else. It's always changing. It's ever changing, forever changing.
Now, speaking of that gear that gives you, like, those bonuses, Code, did you want to talk about I wouldn't call it a nitpick. I would call it a problem with the game, in your opinion.
It's the same thing as viticulture. Sometimes I feel like you can be a little unlucky at times, where if I pick a gear the next gear that gets flipped over is a gear that will help somebody else, like even greater. I wish they showed the top card of the deck. That way I know what would be coming next. Just to me, like, I work hard to get that gear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sacrificing one of my spaces to buy this gear because it's a good gear. I really want it. And then if the next card is just a better gear, I feel like it's kind of like, screw you. So, really, now, that's my only downfall for the game.
Now, your negative isn't necessarily my positive, but I think a game like that where, like you said, the turns are almost predetermined, it's nice to have a little bit of a curveball where it's like, hey, these things can kind of switch your strategies on the fly. So I agree. It can be random. It can be lucky, but it could also be the catalyst that changes your gameplay. So not only are you focusing on what other players are doing, you're also looking at these things and seeing if, like, hey, on the fly, I've got to switch what I'm doing so I can grab this really powerful item. Now, about the randomness, what I'll say is, a lot of games give you more options than what this game gives you in terms of what pops out. Thinking of one like Century Golem, they give you 5 or 6 cards that are out at a time. So you can see ahead of time, like, hey, there's a lot of options. If I don't get my first one, maybe I have the second one. There's also only 3 parks that come out at a time. So if you were planning to get one and one goes away, even though you were planning for that, you might not even have a backup plan.
Did you guys... for the gameplay for Nightfall expansion, how do you guys think that one went? How do you guys think the gameplay went with it?
And to me, once again, I don't think it feel like it added enough to the game to justify it. Me personally, I don't even think I used any of the things that were, you know, it added in besides the extra parks, which were nice. So that's my opinion, but
yeah, I kind of feel the same way. We just talked about expansions, and this is definitely one that just adds things to the base game. Now, it is nice to have more options, so you do get those endgame scoring, and you get the tent, which I think I used twice, which just adds another space for you to do something else. It was fine, but how much did the expansion cost?
I think it was 30.
30. Seems a little excessive, but it was... it's nice to have. Like, I'm not going to complain about having the expansion. You know, I would rather not have it.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to play with it in the game now. So it's not like, oh, man, I got to put this together or something. It's always going to be part of the game now, which is fine. One thing I didn't explain with the base game. I love parks. I love the game. The only thing I had a narc on it was the end game scoring. The end game scoring seemed like it like sucked. Like, you didn't even like try to go for it. You know what I mean? Like, it would be like, you're going to do all this for 2 extra points again, or 3 if you get 4 more parks. It's like, no, I'm just going to focus on something else because it's not even worth my time. I can just go get a cheaper park for 3 points instead of doing that. But the expansion adds end the game scoring, and that makes it a lot better. What do you guys think about that? The end game scoring for the expansion makes it a lot better.
Yeah, I love end game scoring because it feels like that, almost that, like that Hail Mary. You know, like, yeah, hey, we know Joey's in the lead because he's got more cards than us. But guess what? I have this end game scoring that might pull me back in. I don't know, you know. But I'll say this last thing about the expansion part of the gameplay. And this could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, depending how you look at it. I didn't really notice it. You know, like I said, it adds stuff, but it wasn't something that was in my face like, oh, I've got to learn this new mechanic, or, whoa, this is separate from what we played before. It felt like a natural expansion to the game. Like I said, it could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, in your opinion.
Yeah, going back to what Cody said earlier when we were talking about expansions to me, they have to add to the game and like add a different mechanic almost. Like you said, it didn't do that.
It made some stuff better.
Yeah, for sure. Which is good too, but sometimes when you spend $30 on expansion, you want that. you want it to make a new mechanic and make the game a lot better, which it did not make the game a lot better.
Right.
Cody, got anything to add to that?
No, I agree. But I would like to talk about my favorite part of the game, if you guys don't mind. Which is components. The components are absolutely stunning in this game. The definitely sets it apart from other games. The pieces you get in there are beautiful. They're carved or whatever, like shapes of animals, which is super nice. The humans, they look like actual, you know, walkers and hikers. That's the word
walkers,
I'm looking for.
Zombies.
They look like walkers. No, they look like hikers, which is, they put a lot of effort into making sure the game looked nice. Even the cards you get for the parks, they have their names. I believe they're real parks, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, they're real national parks.
So they're real national parks, and the cards look great themselves, too. And nothing's confusing. If you need water, it's shaped like a teardrop water. You know, you need a tree shaped like a tree, mountain shaped like a mountain. So they did an extremely great job of putting together the components in this game. So I'm pleased with that.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add. You kind of nailed it all. Everything looks really good. Looks like it's quality, which I always say about a game. Like, oh, this is quality. I'll say the insert, the game trays are also really nice. They're customized. I don't own the game. Joey owns the game, so I'm not really the one to put it away or actually store it. But I'm assuming that's a lot nicer for you, Joe, to have those customized game trays where everything fits in a spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got every spot for different components. You know what I mean? Like, the first player token is really nice. It's like a triangle thing that's like almost made of like, I don't even know how to explain. Almost made of metal. It's like made of metal. And you have an insert for that. You have an insert. There's like a little cardboard camera that looks really nice. And that's for like the second player. And that goes into an insert. And then just all the tokens go into an insert. The components are the highlight of the game, obviously. But it's just probably the best components that I've ever played.
I mean, they're good. They're definitely good. And I do enjoy them. And it looks like, and I enjoy this, they put effort into them, which you want to see.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. And then another thing we're going to talk about is theme/art. How do you guys think of the theme and the art plays into this game?
Why don't you take it first, Joe?
Okay. The theme, I think, is really there. I think you know what you're doing. You're going across the hike, and you're collecting resources, and then you're going to the end, and you're getting national parks. I'm not confused by the theme. I think the theme is definitely there. And the art is amazing in this game. The board is nice. All the little pieces, all little park tracks you're going across is nice. And the cards are, I mean, they're just pictures of the national park that you're visiting. It's art's beautiful, theme's there, and I think really a shining moment in this game for sure. Art and theme.
Yeah, the art looks, like you said, amazing. It's really some of the best art you can find. It looks like something you would find in a school that's like framed, you know, like, hey, here's Yellowstone, and it's some artist's, you know, rendition of it. It looks great. The theme's good. You know, it's a nice theme. Like, hey, you're trekking and you're visiting these national parks. I wouldn't say the gameplay backs it up too much. You know, you're getting resources. It's not like the theme is good. The theme of visiting parks is good. But the actions you take to visit a park, it's like, okay, I kind of get it. But it's not something where I'm like, this 100% makes sense.
Okay. Smell hater, but okay. Go ahead. Cody.
I got nothing to add. You guys said it all. It's just quality, as Corey would say.
Yeah.
Just quality.
Would agree. Okay, so the last thing we're going to talk about is longevity. I think we might all disagree on this one, but let's start with you, Cody. Longevity of this game. How much do you think you're going to play this game that much more often?
I mean, we played it pretty often, I think, already. It's one of them games, I mean, it's quick game, so I feel like we can bust it out, you know, for a little beginner game and then go to a heavier game later on. I see us playing it for a while, to be honest with you, because it's just a quick, fun game. Everyone understands it. We can get it done in, what, probably less than an hour?
Yeah.
No, so, I mean, sure. I see it sticking around just for the aspect of it's just once we all love a game, it's, you know, we want to keep playing. So
yeah.
To me, it's okay. going to be a keeper.
Yeah, Corey?
I think the longevity is good because it's fun. I have a fun time playing it, so I do want to keep playing it. I don't necessarily think that from game to game I'm getting new experiences where it's like, let's see what happens here. But the other players making moves make you adjust on the fly. But you're doing the same thing from game to game, which you're doing in every game, but I don't think the strategies differ that much. Now, yes, obviously you can go towards more parks that have sun, but it's essentially the same thing as a park that has water. So, and the end game scoring, those are mostly the same cards. The expansion helped that, which is good. But a lot of the times it was collect four parks that have this kind of resource. So for the most part, you're not going to be doing and experiencing new strategies, but I really enjoy the game, so I plan on playing it a lot.
Can I add something to that, Corey? Do you think you would experience more strategies? We've only done this once, but we usually only play us three that game. The time we played, I think, with five players, I feel like it was kind of a way different game than it is with three players. So do you think if you played more with more players, you'd get a different experience with that? Because I feel
That's kind of fair, but I guess what I'm saying is the main thing of the game is collect resource, get a park. Now, take Zulkin, for instance. You know, you can explore strategies. You can explore just getting crystals. You can explore raising the god tracks, building up buildings, and all those are, you take the same moves to get there, but they're vastly different. And this one is getting resources to get a park. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very fun. It's just, it is the same kind of maneuvers each game.
Yeah. My point for longevity is, like Cody said, when you're playing with different people, it's a little bit of a different game. Like, you guys only played, you three mostly. I played this game with probably like 20 different people. I played with Uncle Ron, we've talked about. I played with Jorge. I played with Brady. I played with my niece and nephew, Mac, Lily, and Ruby. I played just with so many different people. So that's like another point to longevity to me. It's not just how long you're going to play this for. Who else can you play this with? You know what I mean? Some games you can't play with other people. So it's like, hey, I'm going to be only playing this with you three. So it's going to be the same game a lot. But a game with you three and a game with my nieces and nephews, or my nephew and nieces, is a way different game. So I'm with Cody. I see this game's quick. It's easy to learn. Easy to teach. I love this game. You guys know it. You know me. I love this game. This is top five game for me, probably top 10, definitely. And it's just, it's a great game. The longevity for me is just, it's going to be here for a while, I think. They come out with another expansion. I just said I didn't like the other. I didn't say I didn't like it, but I didn't like it as much as I would like to. But if they come out with another expansion, I'm probably going to buy it. And that's all. Yeah. Okay. And so we are to the end of this game of the month segment, and we are going to give a rating. I figured we'd give ratings for the base game, and then we can give a rating for the expansion as well. Does anybody want to start, or do you want me? You want me to start?
I'll start.
I'll go after you.
Well, my rating for the base game and the expansion is probably going to be the same because I don't feel like the expansion adds too much, but I'm going to give it an 8. I really enjoy the game. Wow. There's the components are beautiful. I mean, I have played this game probably, you know, more than a lot of other games we own, and every single time I have fun with it, and I never win, but I still have fun with it. So to me, I'll give it an 8, and that's a respectable score.
Okay, yeah, so
nice.
A lot of times you play games that have really, really amazing components, really great art, you know, and the gameplay doesn't necessarily back it up. And it's like you still play those games because you like bringing them out, you like looking at them. Thankfully, this game does have the gameplay to match. You know, it has really strategic gameplay where you have to switch up on the fly, and to me, it's just fun. Now, maybe it helps that I win every single time I play it. It's just something where I'm really good at this game, but I really enjoy it. It's definitely a game I'm going to keep playing again. Like, I know I didn't give it the best longevity rating, but like I said, I think it's a lot of fun. I'm going to give this game also with the expansion because I don't think the expansion differs itself enough to give its own little rating. As far as I know, I haven't played it as much. I'm going to give it an 8.5. Just a really, really fun game. I would buy this if you didn't have it, Joe. It's it's something that when you want to bring it out, I'm always game to play it.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Like you said, I'm always going to want to play this game. So my rating, I'm just going to do the base game. They're going to be a little different rating because I'm not disappointed with the expansion, but it could have been better. With the base game, I'm going to give it a 9.25. Let's do that. 9.25. Not a 10, not a 9, but 9.25. And the expansion, I'm going to give like a 6. Because it's like, I could have bought this. I could have not bought it. And it would have been just as fine without it. So it's average. The expansion is average. That's fair. A 9.25 for the base. So pretty good ratings for this game.
I would say all love it. We all recommend it. I think at least an 8 is definitely a recommendation. So
for sure. Yeah, this is definitely a recommendation.
What
for sure.
How much was this game as well? Wasn't it
50?
Okay.
So a little cheaper than some games come. You know, usually they start around 60 or higher, so
I would have bought this game after I played it, I would have bought this game for 60 or 70.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. I love this game. I mean, how much I play it, it's a no-brainer for sure. Okay. That concludes Game of the Month.
All right. So now it is time for the Digital Minute.
Digital 2 minutes.
And what do we have on Digital
Minute? Digital 5 minutes, more like.
Digital 8 minutes if I'm doing it.
We have, you guys would stop interrupting me. We have Terraforming Mars. So, Code, when you want to
know,
when you want to tell me when my minute starts, let me know.
Okay. Your minute can start right now.
Okay. So, we all know Terraforming Mars as one of the best games on BGG. It's a top 100 game. It's actually number 4. It's a hand management game where you draw cards and you play them to terraform Mars. Build up things like ocean, get the oxygen level high, get the temperature right, because you are all corporations and you are trying to build up Mars and be the top corporation on that new planet. So what does the iOS version do that the board game can't do? It's a really faithful recreation of the game. When I bought the game for $8.99, which I think is a pretty good price, I got exactly what I was hoping for. I got Terraforming Mars. Now, Terraforming Mars, the board game, is not a looker. It looks pretty plain. The quality of the art's not that good. The pieces aren't that good. But the iOS version really spruces it up. It gives you some animation with the oceans. It looks really good. The online play has been pretty decent. Me and my wife had played a couple games with it. It connected really well. I haven't tried to play with randoms yet. But it also gives you almost a single-player mode, too, where you're trying to do challenges. You're trying to get – trying.
It's not as easy as it looks, does it?
You're trying to get certain aspects done before you have a certain amount of turns. So you have 14 turns to get the oxygen all the way up, and it gives you a challenge and a reason to play a certain way. Last thing I will say is it deals with a lot of cards. The cards have small print. It is very hard to read on your phone. So I don't know if I'd recommend it on your phone, but if you have a tablet – I would 100% recommend this game. Terraforming Mars is simply just one of the best games made. And that was 1 minute.
Okay. A digital 1.5 minutes.
Yeah, so you said you can play with like computers or something? Or
you can play with AI for sure. But they also, like I said, they give you like single-player challenge modes. So, you got to make sure you have this much oxygen by the end of round 14 or something like that. And it does have an online lobby where you can just play with random people. And that was pretty active. You know, I don't know how long ago this came out, but I went in there. I was like, where's my wife? And I got hit on. So
can you just play with friends or no?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. You make a room and you do a private room. And like I said, me and Lindsay were able to play a couple games 2-player. And the nice part about this game is it takes away all the minutiae, you know, getting your own resources and figuring out exactly how a card works. You click, you want to play a card, it works exactly like it's supposed to. No mess ups. So.
Yeah, that's all online or all phone games. There, no cleanup.
And it's so nice with it
for sure. $8.99 is kind of expensive though.
I think it's worth it though. I really do think the $8.99 price is worth it. And if you get it on the iOS, they do have family sharing. So
from a guy that doesn't spend 99 cents. Freaking Corey, I don't know if I want to even spend 99 cents in that game.
Well, 99 cents, Corey.
Lindsay really loves Terraforming Mars, so. We had to get it. Yeah, it's a good one. All right, moving on from that 1 minute segment, we are going to jump into the podium. Now, the podium is a top 10 where we only do a top three. We are giving a bronze, a silver, and a gold on a certain topic. Last week, we did theme, so you guys can get to know us a little bit, and we're going to kind of stick with that. We're going to let you get to know us even more. We're going to talk about game mechanics and our bronze, silver, and gold version of that. I'm getting a little hoarse, so Cody, Joey, do you want to tell us your bronze game mechanic?
Okay, Cody, you can go first.
Okay. I'm assuming this is a game mechanic. It's bluffing. Boy. Bluffing. The game mechanic, right?
Yeah.
So I love bluffing just because you try to get in people's heads. You mess with them a little bit. You know, you don't know what to believe, what not to believe. And it's just, you're basically reading the person. And to me, that's fun when you're playing games, trying to figure out what this other person's thinking and what you want them to think about what you're doing. Some of those games can include Resistance, which is one of my favorite games, and then Sheriff of Nottingham, which is also a great game where you got to try to sneak things in and you bluff, you know, which cards you're playing and the sheriff tries to figure out. But yeah, so bluffing to me, one of the best game mechanics around.
Yeah, cool. Okay, that was rude. But no, I agree. Bluffing's a cool mechanic for sure. So my bronze is area control / majority.
Really?
Like, kind of like war games. Like games note would be like Blood Rage and Scythe. I just kind of like that aspect where you're like fighting other players to gain that control of that like continent or country or whatever or area. You know what I mean? You just try to, you got to out strategic your other person in like a war setting. I think that's kind of like a cool mechanic to a game.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of your picks could have been in top five for me for sure. My number three is auction and bidding. I love these games, man. It feels like so cutthroat and not in a way where you're like killing somebody or stabbing them in the back. It just feels like you're both fighting for the same thing and it's about how much you're willing to go. And it just has this really good tense part where it's like, okay, can I go higher? Can they go higher? You know, what's my limit? And it's just really fun to always bid on stuff or auction. I got a lot of games for this. For Sale, Biblios, High Society. Those three are all kind of smaller games, but I will not hesitate to bring them out because they're just so much fun. Also, a bigger one is Modern Art. That's a bidding game through and through, and it has five different types of auctions, and it's so much fun. And then Cyclades, where you're kind of bidding on what God Trek you want to go to. So all those games, really, really fun. I really love this game mechanic, and that's my bronze.
All right. You want me to go to my silver?
Yeah, let's keep it going. Sure.
Okay, my silver is card drafting. I absolutely love card drafting. Just the aspect, you know, you get a deck of cards, you pick whatever you want, pass it around to the next person, they do the same thing, and you try to build a certain strategy, try to get the best cards as possible, obviously, and just try to stick with, I guess, a theme, like Carnival of Monsters. You know, you want dark monsters, let's just say. You want to pick dark lands and dark monsters to go with them. But if someone steals your monster, your lands, and you're like, I missed my chance. I should have picked it a round earlier or whatever. So to me, it's fun. It's easy. Anyone can do it. Also, other games that include that are like Sushi Go, which you guys know I love. Seven yeah. Wonders. Even Blood Rage, where you can pick different things in it. So card drafting, a lot of fun and super simple.
Yeah. That's a good one. Card drafting is a good one. Okay, so my silver is we have a same one. We have auction / bidding.
Nice.
Yeah, like Corey said, just the aspect of you're trying to outbid the other person, then like the other person gets mad because it's like, man, you took my thing. It's like, I'm going to get you back later when I have more money than you and stuff like that. Like Corey said, the games of note are Cyclades and Modern Art. Those two are just great game. Modern Art is something about that game. I don't know why. I just I modern love art. That game. Yeah, I just love that game. And yeah, and it's just, I don't know, every time there's an auction slash bidding game, every time you guys say you have, it's an auction slash bidding game, like, yeah, I'm in for it, for sure.
Yeah, hey, great choice.
King's Dilemma, kind of, I think there's is a little bidding. Is it
bidding?
I think there's a little bidding.
We're playing tonight.
I'd be pumped for it. I'd be pumped for it. On the phone.
My number two is Social Deduction. And I think, Code, that is pretty much bluffing, as you described it. So I would say we match up on that. Yeah, I love lying to people. I love when it's a thing that you should do. I don't like lying in real life, but when it's a mechanic and it asks me to lie, I think it's one of the funnest things in the world, trying to get people on your side, trying to convince them that you're not the person that they think you are. It's like role-playing. There's so many games that we enjoy playing this on, and it's always like, my favorite part is, like I said, trying to convince them you're not what you are. So, like, deception. Hey, I'm not the murderer. Secret Hitler. I'm not Hitler. Werewolf. I'm not the werewolf. And when people fall for it and they start to trust you and you see the end result and they knew that they messed up and they trusted you when they shouldn't, best feeling in the world. Social deduction.
I agree.
Yeah, all right.
I would agree, too.
What sits at the top of your podium? What has the gold, Cody?
I'm pretty sure we're going to have the same one. We talked about it earlier. It is worker placement. Just the funnest games around. There's so much strategy to it. Literally, you place it down. Like you said, you try to beat out the other person for that spot. And, I mean, we talked about worker placement already. It's just, to me, the most strategy in those games. And my favorite games, obviously, Zulkin's one of them. Viticulture, Dinosaur Island's another one that we really enjoy. So to me, worker placement, if you're going to buy a game, those are the ones.
Nice.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it was probably my top four or five, for sure. I love worker placements, too, for sure.
All right, what's your number one?
Okay. Thought we were going to talk a little more about it. My bad. Okay.
We're cool. No, we'll talk about it.
Maybe we will.
Okay, so my gold is... no surprise. Deduction games. You guys kind of like deduction games for the bluffing aspect. I like the deduction games for like the figuring out aspect. Like, I love lying to people, don't get me wrong, but it's also that deduction of trying to figure out, you know what I mean? It's a puzzle. It's always a social puzzle almost. And games of note, like you said, deception. Another game I love for deduction is like Mysterium. Mysterium is a great game. I love that game. Some of you guys don't really like it that much, but I like it. And deduction, that's my gold. That's who won the gold.
Yeah, so I figured when we did this one, we would have mostly all the same because we are a game group. We play the same games together and we tend to play, you know, the games we like. You know, it's not like one of us forces the other ones to play games. So my number one is, like you said, worker placement. I love worker placement. I love how you have actions on the board and they're so varied and they tend to have so much different strategies in each of the games. I like that the, and this kind of works for anything, but I like how different the themes can be from making wine to, you know, trying to get God's favor in terms of like Zulkin, you know, like social deduction is great, but it really always boils down to the same thing. You know, you're lying and one team's not for the most part. Worker placement almost feels unlimited. You know, we have Tricarion doing magic tricks, Viticulture. I really enjoy, what was the other one I enjoy? I enjoy Champions of Midgard, and that one has a little bit of battling to it. You're trying to fight monsters, and I really like Underwater Cities. That's one of my top 10 games. You know, you're building up a city, so I don't know. Worker placement.
Abomination.
Yeah, Abomination. I mean, it's just, they're so varied. There's anything you can make from them. It feels like every theme can be fit into a worker placement somehow. And it can be a combination of some games you are really competitive with people in terms of spots and fighting them. And some worker placements are like, hey, do your own thing. You know, you don't really have to worry about the other people in terms of like if they're going to hurt you or not. You know, you can just kind of focus on your own board and make up and get your own points. But some games are a little more ruthless than that. And I like the combination of both of them. You know, I like having that opportunity to play those types of games. So worker placement, definitely my number one, and I don't see it changing ever.
Yeah, for sure.
But that was the podium. So I think we had six different choices overall, five different choices. So not much variety this month, but in the future, I think we will be definitely at odds when it comes to the podium.
Yeah, for sure.
So that leaves us to the end of our episode. At the end of the episode, we try to figure out what we want to talk about at the beginning of our next episode. So, Code, we have a segment here called what?
The Wheel of Destiny.
No, Joey, can you just tell us what it is?
Come on.
Wheel of Destiny.
That's right. Thank you so much, Joseph. All right, so on the Wheel of Destiny, we have six topics. Whatever one gets spun and picked, that's what we will discuss next topic or next level. Last month, it was expansions, so we talked expansions. Maybe a little bit poorly, but hey, that's the wheel for you. We can't control it. So we have six topics. We have co-op gaming. What else do we have here? We have art and theme. We have party games. We have top 10. We have legacy, and we have... what's that last one? I'm not sure exactly, but we will spin the wheel. I will hold up the board so you guys can see.
Hang on, you gotta.
Are you guys ready?
We're ready. Party games.
Party yeah! games.
Party games.
We will be talking all things party games. This was a topic picked by Joey, so I hope he has much to say next month.
I will. I love
and it. Favorite. Should be. It is. It's party games are probably where we started. You know, really enjoying games. You laugh. You have fun.
Playing Werewolf for 3 hours.
Yeah,
with should four be, people.
Should be a great discussion next month, but we're still in this month, so I hope you guys really, really enjoyed this episode. I had a great time making it. I hope you two had a great time making it as well.
Yeah.
It was
a lot of fun.
It was awesome.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe. Please tell a friend. Any amount of people helps. One extra person helps. You know, if you like it, just give us a shout out. We're always on Board Game Geek. Talking with people and discussing with stuff. We would love to have that conversation. So if you like it, just continue listening. We really appreciate it. And that's all we really have to say for episode 2 of We the Meeple.
Boom.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peace.